The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Matarazzo and Lubesher Show, sponsored by Matarazzo and Lubesher. Got a great show. Adam Flager's in the house. Adam, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Marla Vitero is also in the house. How are you, Marla?
Hello. Hello. I'm doing pretty good, considering.
And we have Steve Matarazzo on the line. How are you, sir?
I'm not well.
I know you're not. Hold on. By the way, for the record, we don't have anybody else in the house. Hold on. Before I go on and bring on Steve Lubesher, how you doing, Steve?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing?
I'm good. I hail from the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, home of the two-time world champion Philadelphia Phillies.
How's that city doing today?
Not good, Steve. Okay. You know what?
I know, it's a little
bright
today.
But if I were you, I would keep looking out that door right there. Steve.
You're going to Joe Pesci me in Goodfellas.
That's right. Steve, we were at lunch. We all got a chance to, you know, meet and thankfully.
I'm disappointed. I thought he was coming in. I heard that he's like awesome.
Yeah, he is awesome. But let me tell you, what we're about to endure right now, what's coming at us. Mm-hmm. We were talking about baseball, and Adam Flager is a very knowledgeable sports fan. Thank God, because I'm thinking, man, if Adam, and he's got eclectic tastes, you know, I'm like, okay, we're good here. Cause little did we know we were going to be booking this show on today. But we were all real talkative about, you know, what we were thinking. I'm like, get it out right now, because if Matarazzo gets on the line, we're going to get hit.
Here comes the tornado.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And so, if you would, Steve, let us have it.
Well, first of all, I apologize, I can't join you folks, but I have four trials tomorrow. Next week, so I'm preparing for those. And as we discuss always, when you need a workers' compensation lawyer, you better get the attorney that does this day in and day out like I do, or you're going to have a problem. So I'm preparing for those trials, and that's why I'm in the office. But for anybody that doesn't know, and I know you know, Joe, Mr. Luther hails from East Brunswick, New Jersey, and he is not a Philly guy like you and I, Joe. We were born here.
And Marla, by the way.
And me. I'm a Philly girl.
Okay. And, you know, I don't know if Luther could find South Philly if he tried.
But he lived in the city.
I lived in the city.
He lived in the city for 20 years.
Oh, wait. Do you have any relation to Frank Matarazzo, the dentist?
Yes. He's a dentist. He's related to me, and my name ends at a vowel, so I know all about South Philly.
That was my father's best friend. Like, seriously, my dad's best friend. I swear to God.
He's actually still practicing.
I know.
Over at the Navy Yard.
Yeah, and Anita. He's with Anita over there, right?
Yes.
See?
Correct.
Isn't that funny?
So you and I know mutual people.
Yeah.
So we've been beating the living, you know what, out of Lucier for the last couple of years, Joe, between his Giants and Mets. And I have to say this. I told Lucier before the series started, I was not comfortable. The Phillies, since, and I hate this, let's go to London and play baseball, and let's go to Brazil and play football. Personally, I'm not interested in it. And ever since the Phillies went to London to play the Mets, they have gone in the tank. But it's not, and let's be honest, the Mets were the better team.
They were.
In this series.
No question.
I don't think Castellanos is wrong. I don't think he's wrong. I think he's right. We are the better team, but they were the better team in this series. And at the end of the day, and I've been preaching this for years, Joe, and you know this. Aaron Nola is not worth $24 million. He has given up this year the second most home runs in the entire MLB. Okay? And I knew he was going to come up soft. He reminds me of an attorney at my old law firm that is very soft and just not a good lawyer. Okay, he pitches three great innings and then he gives up bombs. So I knew they were going to lose that game. The difference between Aaron Nola and Ranger is amazing. Ranger's hurt and he still went out there and gutted it out and gave it his best yesterday. And I have a lot of respect for that. the Phillies, okay, let's look at this objectively, and I love these guys, but we've got to do some changes.
Got some problems.
Since we went to the World Series, we're taking a step back. And if you look at their hitting in the last three playoff games, it's atrocious. They were batting, as of the night Nola pitched, 168 in this series. And the Mets remind me of the Phillies of 3 years ago.
Absolutely.
Scrappers, taking pitches, getting on base, doing whatever they have to do. And then the Phillies would come up, and they'd swing at the first pitch. It was disappointing, but quite frankly, expected.
Yeah.
And I have to give Mr. Lubscher and his Mets their props. And, yeah. And let's remember something. The Mets and the Braves and the Phillies were supposed to compete for the division. And the Mets got out of the gate terrible, and the Phillies got out of the gate well. The Mets are a decent team. They're a good team. Now, once Acuna is back and all those Braves are back, Braves are winning the East. Stone cold. But somebody has to be held accountable for this. I'm just a workers' comp guy, so I'm not an expert, but I can tell you this. I don't know if it's the general manager or who has to be held accountable, but you can't have the batting order the way it was and have from Ramuto down, they were like 2-for-20 in the series. It was horrific. And that's why they lost. And they lost because their bullpen blew up. I mean, that kid last night threw two wild pitches, and he hit a guy, walked the bases loaded. We all knew the game was over at that point. Yeah. And then the guy comes in and throws a cheese ball to Lenore. At 5'3", the little midget I am, I could have hit that out of the park.
Well, it's interesting. So when you look at all
did
those...
Did you play ball? Did he play ball? Steve?
Matter as
no, I wrestled. I was a lunatic. I'm still a lunatic.
Okay.
So but what I'd say is this, though. When you look at... First of all, same thing. Kudos to the Mets, 100%. They look exactly like we did. Guys stepped up, and their starting pitching was phenomenal. Okay, you do what I when I think of the Mets, though, I say to myself right now, how in the world could you ever let go of a polar bear? Okay, that guy, he made his contract in the playoffs this year.
That's what he did.
He made his money, and he made about three. Now, if he can finish up. Or even have, even if they don't finish up and he does at least decent, you got a situation where a guy made a couple hundred million by hitting those. I'm just saying it. So you take him out of the equation, which you're in New York. You can afford him. You pay the guy, right? Because someone's going to pay him and it has to be you. Having said that, the Mets developed the way they should, that they should have, that the Iglesias, the kid in center field who made the perfect throw and got Bowman. It was one of the great throws that I've ever seen. And exactly the type of throw that happens when you're on and the other team ain't. You can't. And so it literally, he caught it on his back. And then you look at the third baseman who, even though he did blow the one, two calls, I mean, the two plays at third, one of them, he had a home run the very next inning. So they have the momentum, okay? The Phillies... since the All-Star, it sounds weird, but one of the things, and Steve, you'll remember this. I know that Steve Lubscher won't because he's not a Phillies fan, but when we lost to the Oakland A's on the last game of the before the break, we lost 18-1, okay? I knew it, that was, I said, you know what? This is not the kind of loss that you can just shake off. In other words, I actually thought that, and we came out of the break horribly. We had a lot of injuries and a lot of things going on. At the same time, I am not convinced that you blow this team up just yet. A lot of people are talking about Alec Boehm. He's been in the major leagues 2 years, okay? I don't think you blow him up under any circumstances. Marsh, clearly, you know, I mean, he digressed and so did, Stott, okay. So when you look at a lot of the things, and our bullpen also fell apart. Now you look at Nola and Adam said, at lunch, we got him for 7 freaking years at the money that he has, and your partner Lubscher over here said, was talking about your agenda when it comes to Nola.
Yep.
So The question is, and then we got the Braves coming back next year. So I would obviously, you know, unfortunately for us, we had guys like Soto. Okay, we had guys like Sir Anthony Dominguez. We got guys like Alvarado, okay, who can all throw over 100 miles an hour but can't get the ball over the plate. And I'm going to end mine on this. Did anybody see the end of the Braves game, of the Dodgers game, the first game in San Diego, where this is a great example of baseball. This is why Major League Baseball is when you're in a slump, it's 0-2, you might as well just walk up to the plate, it's 0-2. Why? Because you're either swinging at the first pitch, you're not, and then you foul the second one up. The reason I say that, and the pitcher knows it, well, this kid comes in, he's throwing 104 miles an hour. Now, we only threw 100 during the game, 101, but he could throw 104. He's a rookie, he'd only played 3 games in the major leagues, okay? But the Padres are on. The Braves are losing 8-1 games. I mean, the Dodgers are losing 8-1. They throw this kid out there just to get him some work. And he couldn't find the plate for 3 pitches. And they knew he was a rookie. And they knew he was coming fat. And they had 5 straight hits, 2 or 3 home runs off a guy who... And so my point is, when you can't find the plate, okay, the thing about the Major League, it's a psychological game. Okay, when you're in a slump, the pitcher knows you're in a slump. They got more analytics going on. And when your team has no energy, and Steve, I'm sure you'll agree on this, we had no energy. With what you look at what happened in Washington, okay, we lose the first 2 games, get smoked. Last game, we're winning by 3 runs in the 9th inning. We let them load the bases with 2 outs, and the guy hits a bomb to the fence. And it would have been a grand slam. We would have lost it all. That was the way the last half of the season was going. And so the Mets come in. They look good. Polar bears happening. All these guys step up that never stepped up. Like Steve, like Bob Walk did when we won the first World Series. And now all of a sudden, yep, you got a team that's impossible to beat.
Well, I don't know about impossible. What I will say is you talk about energy. So we talked about this earlier. The Mets for the last month or so have been basically playing playoff baseball.
Right.
You know, they've been involved in the wild card chase, and it's the Mets, it's the Braves, it's the Brewers and the Padres. And it wasn't like any of those teams were, you know, bowing out either. It's not like any of those teams went on, you know, big time losing streaks. So the Mets had some of the greatest games in Mets history within the last couple of weeks. I was at the game on Saturday, game one. And
Joe, in our firm seat, sit next to me with his little shirt on. I wanted to smack him.
Yeah, but you know I'd take you and throw you over the rail, so you didn't do anything. But what I'll say is that Mets went out, and I think that they went out, first inning, all 3 guys got out. Schwarber hits a leadoff Schwarbaum. He hits a leadoff home run. So as far as energy, you know, that stadium was full of energy.
Well, no question. Now I'm going to do this, Mar. I need you to pick this up right now real quick.
What's that?
Because we're going to take a quick break, Steve Matarazzo. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll have more from the Matarazzo and Luger show in just a minute.
I'm Cody DiPablo. Cancer, we don't want to think about it, but I had to because, well, I was busy. Working, traveling, enjoying life, completely forgot to pay attention to my health. Too much time passed since my last PAP. By the time I was tested, things didn't look too good. We thought I might have cervical cancer. Cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. I was lucky. After lots of worries, no cancer. I've always been very close to my mother. When we finally got good results, she broke down. And that's when I realized it's not just about me. It's about your loved ones, too. So women, get a Pap test to check for cervical cancer and get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog, and I need you to help me take a bite out of crime. Counterfeit products are popping up everywhere. Fake sneakers, fake cosmetics, and even fake pills. Crooks are selling counterfeit versions of just about everything. Last year, billions of dollars worth of counterfeit products were sold in the U.S. Sure, it may seem like saving a few bucks on the things you want isn't a big deal, but counterfeits are usually made in unsafe conditions, potentially using hazardous and even lethal ingredients that could harm you and others. And the money you've paid, it goes right into the hands of criminals and may support child labor, drugs, and even gangs. Smells like big crime to me. So if you still think buying fake products is harmless, think again. And remember, if you don't know where the products came from, how could you know where the money goes? You're smart. Buy smart. Go for real. Learn more at McGruffPSA.org. This message is brought to you by the United States Patent and Trademark Office and the National Crime Prevention Council.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Matarazzo and Lubscher Show. We should call it the Matarazzo and Lubscher Sports Hour here on WWE. What we're going to do here is bring our guests into the program because we could do the Sports Hour for 6 hours, especially today. Let me bring in Adam Flager, if you would. Adam, and introduce yourself to the listening audience.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, Adam Flager. The firm is Flager & Associates. We specialize in personal injury matters, so motor vehicle cases, slip and falls, dangerous products, dog bites, you name it. And we've been doing that for, the firm's been in existence since 1990, so coming up on 35 years. Founded by my father, who's still running, pirating the ship, and have a great firm, family atmosphere, treat our clients like family, and really walk our clients through what can otherwise be a scary process, make them feel at ease so they can focus on getting better while we, you know, focus on beating up insurance companies.
Fantastic. If you would, Marla Vittero, a little bit about yourself and Synergy Pharmacy.
Sure, because you don't know me, right?
No, I never met you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Marla Vittorello. I am one of the partners in Synergy Pharmacy out in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania. We specialize in Pennsylvania workers' comp and New Jersey auto accidents, so kind of a flip-flop of you guys. But nevertheless, we're all in the same network, and you know, we fight the insurance companies just like you guys do, and we really rely on our doctors and our attorneys, as a team to basically accomplish this and make sure the patients get their treatment. So that's it, synergyscripts.com.
Awesome. And so if you would, I'll go with Steve Lubscher for, if you would, tell us a little bit about the firm.
Did you just call him Lubscher?
Lubscher.
Lucifer. Today, I mean, I thought I heard that.
Yes, we won.
I mean, okay. In spite of like what's going on right now, did you just like...
Well, could have been, right, hold on, let me just say one thing. Could have been a lot worse.
Resorting to name calling. Yeah.
So you see Seinfeld and he's gone Serenity now.
I saw Seinfeld in the box yesterday at the Met game. Celebrating Let's Go Mets.
Oh, you know, man. What? You know what? Yeah, he was celebrating that, but I'll tell you what, I'm going back and forth with Steve Lubscher on text, and then all of a sudden Diaz comes in. And mother of God, he almost walked seven.
I told you, I wish that they left Peterson in.
Yeah, I bet you did. And by the way, you should saw Jerry Seinfeld about that time.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, bud.
My name's Steve Lubscher. You're listening to the Matarazzo and Lubscher Show. I'm one of the shareholders of Matarazzo and Lubscher, along with my partner, Steve Matarazzo. We are a New Jersey workers' comp firm. That's all we do, soup to nuts. We've both been doing only this. Matarazzo's been doing only workers' comp for about 30 years. I've been doing only New Jersey workers' comp for about 15 years. We also, like Adam said, we take good care of our clients. Most important thing to us is client communication, client contact, making sure that the clients feel comfortable, feel at home while we navigate a tricky system.
Absolutely. And, no question, it's extremely important. One of the things I've learned so much from Matarazzo and Lubscher is that we always would say that we had certainly issues in Philadelphia if you got injured in Jersey while you were working obviously in our union, and I finally after meeting these guys have hope that it's not a lost cause. Steve Matarazzo, if you would jump in on that.
So I've been practicing workers' compensation for almost 31 years. Mr. Lubser and I have our own firm. We left a prior firm where I was at for 24 years. I called it Alcatraz, and I swam across the bay and got out of there with all the clients and half staff. So we exclusively do workers' compensation, and I'm going to equate this to last night when I left the office early, because I'm usually here to 8 o'clock every night, including Saturday, Sundays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, New Year's. I left a little bit early to see the game, and I was standing at the bar, and I saw our reliever throw two wild pitches and a And this is my analogy to make this simple. Folks out there, you need to get somebody experienced. Just like that reliever last night, that you could see how nervous he was. You don't want an attorney in workers' compensation and what we do that doesn't do this 24/7, because we call it a club in workers' compensation. There are only so many of us that do this. And when somebody comes in that's an outlier that doesn't do it, their clients get hosed, just like the Phillies got hosed last night by their very young reliever who got rattled.
Yeah, and we've talked about...
It's a good comparison.
Right. Well, you know, we've talked about especially dabblers, okay? People who dabble in personal injury or workers' compensation. Mm-hmm. Very, very dangerous, okay, to have... I'll ask Adam... How awesome has it been to have, you know, somebody as successful and professional as your own father, as not only a mentor and all those things, but a resource as you were really, you know, learning your craft, you know, through the years. And so, you know, and the fact that it was, you know, it made you the professional and, you know, for lack of a better term, an expert in what you do. Rather than somebody who, you know, I have a cousin or something like that. Maybe he's a lawyer. I don't know the difference. I thought all lawyers were the same. I'm going to go to him. He's in the neighborhood and he's going to hook me up. Well, he's not an expert. He's good at wills and estates though. How important is it that you can't have it that way?
Yeah. I mean, it's very important to be, to have some special knowledge and special training in a specific area, because there's the big things that maybe a lot of people know, but there's the nuance that very few people know. And I'm on communicate a lot with a lot of attorneys that do what we do, whether full time or not. And they'll ask questions that really show the lack of experience, the lack of knowledge in an area. And I think to myself, what a disservice they're doing to their clients by not knowing these things that the one, you know, our firm, we know inside and out. So yes, having that special knowledge and really knowing that area inside and out is a huge advantage for us to be able to fight against the insurance companies, but also against people that might, as you say, dabble. As far as having my father as a mentor has been wonderful. I mean, I didn't start working with him until I had already been an attorney for about 6-7 years or so. But even before that, would always, you know, since he had so much knowledge, hey, what should I do here? What do you think about this issue? And would provide that kind of feedback to me and that mentoring. And now for the last 8.5 years, I've been working with him, and it's just been that much better to have that. I mean, this morning, brainstorming an issue with the whole office, and he's not bringing... You know, even though that conversation's 10 minutes, he's bringing 40 years of experience into that 10-minute conversation. And so the insight that he can provide is invaluable to what we can then do for our clients and to try to help them out.
How many attorneys do you have altogether?
We have 4 attorneys, 3 of them that practice personal injury full-time. We also have a municipal practice, which kind of unrelated to what we're here for today, but... we have paralegals, and other support staff. Our secretaries are amazing and people rarely leave. I mean, we have people that were at my bar mitzvah 25 plus years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Puzzle tough.
Just yeah. that type of, so we have family members that are at the firm. Obviously, my father, stepmother's our office manager, my sister's the bookkeeper. Two of our paralegals are mother, daughter. We used to have cousins that were in the office as well.
That's awesome. Yeah,
but, so we have actual family, but mm-hmm. then because we've worked together so many years and people have known each other for 20 plus years working right. together, you have the collective family right. environment as well, which our clients definitely feel, they notice that, and it makes them feel better, puts them at ease, because again, it's something scary that they've gone through and they don't want more scary stuff. They right. want to feel better, try to get better, and not have to worry about what's going on with everything else.
Where's your firm located? I'm sorry, I didn't see the...
We are in Trevose, which is basically Bensalem. Okay. Right off Route 1, right off the Pennsylvania Turnpike, mm-hmm. Very close to 95. So we're...
It's a great location.
Convenient to get to Philadelphia, convenient for Bucks County, but we go...
You're right there at Northeast right. Philly, right there.
Correct. We're all over, and we're conveniently located to a lot of different mm-hmm. key parts of the area.
I mean, let me just pipe in for a second, just a quick personal question for you. You said that you didn't work for your father for the first 6 or 7 years. Was there a reason for that? And then what made you want to... go work for him?
Sure. So,
or did he not hire you right off the
bat? Well, I think it was definitely intentional. But I think my father wanted me to get experience and not just say, oh, here's the keys.
Sure.
Get the experience elsewhere, which was wonderful. I worked for the Philadelphia courts for 2 years, mm-hmm. got incredible experience there. Worked for a solo out in Chestnut Hill. I worked for a mid-sized firm in Center City for 3 or 4 years. So I got a lot of experience elsewhere, which is good, because maybe we were doing something in our office and we could improve upon that mm-hmm. a little bit. And I could bring some of that experience in, and just, knowing my 26-year-old self, or however old I was back when I got out of law school, I think it was the right move, helped me, work on my own, because I was working with other attorneys, but really develop my skills and then bring that into the fold. And then I remember, my father eventually saying, all right, you want to finally come on board, and certainly did.
I'm assuming you made a massive financial demand, and it was like the Tom Cruise moment.
You get a few weeks
moment.
Off vacation.
Yeah, it made me an offer I couldn't refuse.
Well, I have a question for you. So you said 26. I mean, that's such a young age to become a professional in this particular, genre of profession here. So what would you say was your greatest learning experience during that time? Because, you're kind of growing. I look at... And I'm not going to say how old I am, but I'm definitely in the upper echelon.
I'd still
echelon.
Be carding you if I was if I had my bar.
But I have an opinion of some of the younger folks, and I love them all and I adore them all. But the experience that you see later in life is just non-comparable to what they see in 20s.
Yeah, a lot of times you graduate, you get out of med school, it doesn't mean you know how to be a doctor.
Right.
And so working for the court systems, I think, was wonderful, because you want to learn what to do. You also want to learn what not to do. And I got to see a level of, I was in motions court. So the amount of motions that I saw in a given week is more than you would see a practicing lawyer might see in a year.
Right.
And
so you're in the trenches.
And also got to see attorneys conduct themselves in court. And see what works, what doesn't work, get to talk to the judges about, what they picked out, why they asked a particular question, what was fluff and what was substantive.
Right.
And that was, and what
That's
just
incredible.
Didn't, and what just didn't work and what was actually counterproductive, not helpful to their clients or their cause. So those 2 years were really incredible experience. And then just doing it. When I first started, I didn't necessarily know how to conduct the deposition the way I do now.
Right.
So there's a certain amount of trial and error. And, since we've been talking about sports, sometimes you win a game, you learn more by losing the game than you do by winning the game.
Right.
You think everything's fine when you win the game, even though you made all these mistakes and it didn't really matter because the result was good. But so many times, what could I have done a little bit better? And what can I change for the next time? Same things with trials. you might win overall, but you lost a certain part of it that you wanted to win. What could I do better?
Right.
So there's an element, and the Steves can both, I think, would both agree, just having that experience, the repetition, doing it over and over and really honing your skills.
You know, and I'm going to go to Steve Matarazzo. Oh, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, so two things, and I agree with my colleague. So let me just tell people about what we have here. As you know, Joe, because you've met him, the Honorable Bradley Henson, Sr.
Yes.
He was a workers' compensation judge for 20 years. He's with my firm. He retired, young man, very statuesque. He played college ball, and he's with my firm. So there is not one firm in the entire state of New Jersey, workers' compensation firm, that has a former judge of compensation working in their firm. And he came to my firm and is with us. So that should tell people something. And here's what I tell clients on a regular basis. And we sat one day with Sam Pond and had a show with Sam Pond, and he commands a room. What I tell people is this. It's a true story. I can't do anything except for workers' compensation. And I tell them a story that we had a light bulb in my refrigerator that had to be replaced. And my wife said, could you do that for me? I said, sure, I'll try. I tried to replace the light bulb. I took my baseball bat to it because I couldn't figure it out. But I will tell you this. I am in comp court now virtually since COVID every day. From Hackensack to Atlantic City. And we appear virtually, so now it's actually more effective. You go in for trials. But what I'm telling people out there is, I'm talking about workers' compensation. You need to make sure, and you can get all, you can go out there and look me up. I don't care. And you can see what my clients say about me. And I am telling you, stone cold people, if you do not get somebody that does this day in and day out, then you are going to get hosed in comp court. We do not have a jury like the personal injury court. It's the judge, the same judge every day. And you got to know that judge. Each judge has a different idiosyncrasy. And you, when these judges go to these judges' meetings, the courts will close. The workers' compensation courts will close this week for one day because they have a judges' meeting. And you don't think those judges talk about who knows what they're doing and who doesn't know what they're doing?
Yeah.
Or excuse me, who knows what they're doing, who doesn't know what they're doing. And you know, you have to understand, you just can't go out there and choose somebody. A workers' compensation case can involve, and we've discussed this, multiple issues. I'm your workers' comp guy, but if you were driving a truck and you're in the course and scope of your employment, you get in an accident, now you have a personal injury case. So you want to make sure. I'm not going to handle that case, but I'm going to refer that case to somebody that can do that 24/7. There may be a, especially with the clowns at Amazon, okay? There may be an employment case involved because they love to fire people that get hurt at work, so we refer them to an employment lawyer. The person may have such a catastrophic injury, they may have to apply for Social Security disability. We refer them to a Social Security disability lawyer. Same thing with medical malpractice issues. It happens. And you have to make sure that you're with the right attorney. You don't want to be with an attorney that does a jack of all trades. That is a humongous mistake. So if you come to this firm and you got a workers' compensation case, Mr. Lupcher and I are your guys. But if you don't, I'm not going to municipal court. I'm not going to PI court. I'm referring that to my colleagues who I feel are the best in the business. And that's how you get proper representation, period.
You know, it's interesting because as I think, first of all, Steve, how did you get into New Jersey workers' compensation?
How did I get into it? So I'll tell you, I also, like Adam, I clerked for a judge at a law school. I worked for a judge in Camden in the Superior Court doing civil work. And then after that clerkship, and like Adam said, you know, you learn a ton. You learn what to do, what not to do. You get comfortable in a courtroom. After that, I worked for a couple general practice firms where I was doing a little bit of everything, right? Jack of all trades, master of none. And I was, even though I was 25, 26 years old, nobody wanted to do Jersey workers' comp in the firm. So they sent me. They said, okay, you're the new guy. This is what you do. It's not that hard. You know, you just got to go to court. You make a demand. You know, it's very, very simple. Okay, well, I went there. I liked it. I liked being able to help people. I liked being able to the camaraderie amongst lawyers, the collegial atmosphere. And I also realized it ain't as simple as they said it was, right? So I enjoyed it. I ended up seeing Steve Matarazzo, true story, when I was young and when I was talking to certain clients of mine in the Camden Workers' Compensation Court, and I was a little bit, you know, less experienced. I would talk to my clients. They would leave. They would go sit back, you know, in the waiting area. I would go to court. And Matarazzo would actually come up to me and say, look, you know, you, what you did was smart. What you did was good. But you could do X, Y, and Z a little bit better. Or, you know, I would do it this way. And this is before we really knew each other. But that's the kind of relationship that you would start to develop with attorneys. And by going to court, you kind of learn by osmosis a little bit. So I started to enjoy that. I befriended Steve, and I ended up working, you know, for Steve's firm.
Well, Steve, what got you in the workers' comp, Jersey comp? You're from Philly originally, Philly area, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I still live actually in the Philly, in the suburbs of Pennsylvania. So one of my grandfathers was an Italian guy, worked with his hands. And he always got taken advantage of because he had limited education, and he was just a tough guy. And I used to watch and spend time with him, how he would get taken advantage of because he spoke mainly Italian, and he did have a limited education. And my father was a physician in Philadelphia, a gastroenterologist, and I said to myself, well, I've learned a lot of medicine as I've grown up, and I want to help people because I don't want to see people get taken advantage of like my grandfather did. And in what we do in a daily basis, we have five Spanish interpreters in my office. And Mr. Lipscher will tell you this, I'm a lunatic when I see people getting taken advantage of, and I guess it hits to my heart, so to speak. And I take a great pride in representing the Spanish community because these are some of the most hardworking people. They don't even want to be out of work. All they want to do is go back to work. I've seen people with amputations, fingers, that they just want to go back to work. And if I can help somebody like that and make sure that they get the proper medical treatment, and we may get into that today, because that's most important, and get their benefits through workers' comp, so medical treatment, time out of work, and then a settlement with the right to reopen the case, which is very different than Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Then that makes me happy because I've helped a person that really needed assistance. And that's why I do what I do. It's not for the money, the accolation. It is for helping people, period. And when I get up at our Christmas party, which you were at,
yep,
Joe, I said to people, this isn't about making money. This is about doing the right thing and helping people. Because if you're not helping people, I don't want you in my firm.
And having said that, Adam, you know, you were talking about your start, okay? That's interesting because the more you talked, and I was thinking about, you know, your dad, you know, and getting out of law school. Well, think about this for a second because I'm just thinking of it from a layman's point. You're 20, 22, 23, you're like 24, 25, you get out of law school, right? It's probably, you know, your dad's a real reputable, popular, very experienced attorney. But he also knows that plaintiffs, you know, you can't just throw a 24-year-old kid, I don't care who they are, how smart, in front of somebody and say, this is your lawyer. It probably behooved you to get that experience and all that. Plus, there's partners, and it shows the kind of man your father was, where he, you know, because as we all know, there are plenty of people, you know, take their kid and give them a management spot day one. And I don't care who you are, okay, you're going to lose some respect from somebody, mm-hmm, and there's going to be some issue. So to me, what he did was got you experienced, okay? You went out and proved yourself, got educated in situation, and when you came back, you had experience, you had cut your teeth, and you had some, you know, razor stubble on you a little bit, so that somebody walks in the office and they don't think they're getting represented by a high school kid. Does that make any sense at all?
It does, and I did grow a beard in between, so I didn't look 16 anymore. So that was certainly important.
But you're very young looking too, by the way. So I could imagine when people come in, because it's like the same exact concept as a physician. When you see a young physician, you're saying to yourself, okay, this is my medical care. Are they really, do they have the experience behind them through the years to be able to take care of me?
Yeah, and when we talk to clients at sign up, we talk about how we have a team environment and that you're not just getting me or my father or Michael or the other personal injury lawyer in the office. You're getting a team. You're getting a paralegal. You're getting a secretary. You're getting everyone that works together. And then when we're having meetings about, hey, there's this really weird issue, what's the best move? You're getting a collective 100 years of experience making that decision. And so,
by the way, I say that as a compliment to you because I believe in young lawyers. I mm-hmm. believe that, you know, the same way I do in young physicians, where they're coming out with more of a new experience mm-hmm. that we didn't get, or some of the older physicians that we worked with, I wouldn't go see somebody, and I hate to say it, who's like an elderly physician who hasn't operated, who hasn't done anything in medicine or research, they gave up reading anymore, they're just like on their way to retirement. You know, some people don't have the same interest in the game.
Sure. We had a trial a few months ago, and I was taking the doctor's deposition before the trial. He went to med school before MRIs were invented.
Oh, wow.
Right? So he didn't learn that in med school the way everyone does now.
Yeah.
He learned it years into his practice when that was invented.
But even if he did, the technology has changed so much in an mm-hmm. MRI. What people Correct. Have learned, if I had to go back and be a nurse again, so I went to Jefferson, I had a great education as a nurse. I actually even taught back for Jefferson. But it's been 20 years since I've been on the floor. It's actually 23 years mm-hmm. since I've been on the floor. Well, maybe less than that. But, you know, I would have to relearn everything. You know, not the general, you know, stuff I know. I'm never going to forget that. But, you know, like how to re-enter stuff in the computer.
And now there's electronic charting, which didn't exist.
It didn't exist, yeah.
I mean, we were just talking about that with case management software. I mean, there's firms out there that, you know, if they do, there's different ways to use it, different companies that have it. Mm-hmm. But really being able to use that and maximize that, well, you know, when that first came into existence and our firm had to adapt to it, you know, my dad talks about this story all the time where everyone had to get their Rolodexes out and input everything into the computer.
Or pull the charts and you're looking mm-hmm. for charts and, oh my God, I can't find it. And we remember.
My firm I first worked for did not have electronic anything. So if I was working on something, my paralegal couldn't and vice versa. So just being able to use the technology that exists now and really make our lives more efficient.
Yeah, absolutely.
Steve Matarazzo, you were going to say something there.
I want to jump in here. So a couple things that they both said that are important. When you come to my firm and you get me, you get me. You're not going to get mm-hmm. passed off to some attorney. I'm handling that case as the attorney in court, soup to nuts. Now, like my colleague said, we have to have assistants that help us. Because we are in court quite a bit. So we do have paralegals and assistants, but you never, ever, ever with either Loopshore or myself get pawned off to somebody else. And as I said before, we have the judge here who also helps and interacts with the clients. And what I want people to understand, and it's, again, very different in Pennsylvania, PI, and workers' comp in New Jersey. We see insurance companies that they're famous for this, where they're going to send the person needs surgery and they can barely walk. They're having difficulties going to the bathroom. They could have a foot drop and that person needs that surgery as soon as possible. And the doctors recommended the surgery, the neurosurgeon or the Dr. Vaccaro at Rothman has recommended this person needs surgery. And these clowns at the insurance company take the gentleman or lady's file and ship it off to some 75 or 80-year-old doctor that hasn't practiced in 20 years, mm-hmm. and they cut him off. Mm. You need somebody at that point.
Yeah.
I don't wait till they ship. I don't wait till that doctor issues that report to cut my guy or lady off. I file an immediate application and go into that court. And these judges, you have to understand something. These judges are human beings. They have families. They have children. And when you take a case before a judge where the injured worker is treating with Dr. Vaccaro at the at Rothman, who writes all the books on spinal surgery, him and Hillebrand, okay? And Vaccaro's saying the guy needs emergency surgery, and they're going to ship the guy's file off to somebody that hasn't done anything in 20 years. You don't think a judge is going to enter a court order and get nasty at that point? Because that's a human being behind that.
So you don't
have an attorney. So does this 24/7, you got a problem.
Yeah, Steve, just to piggyback off what you're saying a little bit. So in New Jersey, unlike Pennsylvania, in New Jersey, the insurance companies get the first bite at the apple as far as medical treatment in a workers' compensation claim. If you're injured on the job and you have a New Jersey workers' compensation claim, there are three different benefits that you're entitled to. The first benefit is what we're talking about. We're talking about medical treatment, meaning that the workers' compensation insurance company is responsible for providing you with all reasonable and necessary medical treatment. But the caveat is that they get to pick and choose those doctors. So what you'll often see is you're often going to see these insurance companies pick doctors that are going to save them a buck or two, right? If you have a back injury and you have, like Steve said, a foot drop or immediate pain traveling down your leg, you don't want to go to an urgent care. You don't want to go to a Concentra or a Patient First where these doctors are going to try to give you, you know, some ibuprofen, a lidocaine patch, and say, get back to work in your physically demanding job. But again, they get the first bite at the apple. If you don't have an experienced workers' compensation attorney or an attorney that's willing to put their money, like our firm is, put their money to have you seen by the right specialist for the right second opinion, so that, like Steve said, we can file a motion or an application to compel the correct medical treatment so you're not getting blown off by the insurance company and by the system, you know, you're doing a disservice to yourself. The problem is that a lot of people are not educated in that regard. So that's what we're here to do. We try to educate, you know, the working class people of the Delaware Valley as to how the system works and why you need the appropriate attorneys.
And let me say this. I want to say this to Adam. Before I got into, I had no experience in conversing about New Jersey work comp. I have a saying, and we've all heard it enough to where I'm not, you know, they're going to be falling asleep. But as a young iron worker, probably not even as a young iron worker, we worked on a Walt Whitman Bridge. And we used to have a saying, if you got injured on the Jersey side, crawl to the PA side, just because of the reputation. And I always thought that, right? Until I did, you know, I started learning that this crew right here, I mean, fights unbelievably for their clients in regards to the medical. You know, if they do get stuck, I used to think that that in Jersey work comp, and I'm sure everybody, you know, sort of has an idea that 100% that's controlled by the insurance company. And like Steve Matter Lucia just said, they get the first bite. But what really impressed me about these guys is they're going to go file a motion or whatever it is they file if their client is in jeopardy, if their client is in a bad way. Now, before we do anything and move farther, I want to talk about the possibility of what happens when you're a Jersey workers' compensation firm and you're a Pennsylvania PI firm.
Oh. Well, we're on both sides of the river.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, we handle New Jersey PI.
So what happens in a third-party situation where, okay, and that makes it easier, okay, where, say, somebody gets injured on the job. There's a third party element to that, okay? Yeah. I don't think I've ever had that scenario.
What?
And who gets it first? Let's just say, for example, Matarazzo and Lubscher gets it, and there's a third party element, and of course they send it over to Flager and Associates. Okay, well, first of all, I'll go to Matarazzo and Lubscher. What's that process?
Okay, so first of all, in workers' compensation in New Jersey, workers' compensation is primary. So if you get involved in a work-related motor vehicle accident, hypothetically, the medical and time out of work get paid by workers' compensation, not by PIP, personal injury protection, which my colleague will discuss. Okay, so all the medical and temporary disability. So I'm driving the ship against the insurance company. And as my colleague said, Mr. Lubser, they love to send you to doctors to cut you off. But what you have to do in that scenario, and we had one 2 days ago with a police officer who was rear-ended from behind during a traffic stop, is we take the workers' compensation case and we make sure that the individual gets the proper medical treatment. And at the same time, simultaneously, we refer that individual to an excellent personal injury attorney. In the state of New Jersey, again, three benefits: medical, time out of work. And when I say settlement, the settlement is not based upon pain and suffering. Does not exist in my world. That's movie law. The settlement is based upon the injured body part and the diagnosis. So the judge makes the ultimate decision. But we also have, as part of our statute, something called Section 40. And what Section 40 says is, hypothetically, if you're involved in a work-related motor vehicle accident, you get medical, you get temporary disability, and you get the settlement in workers' compensation court, then my colleague pursues the third-party litigation and receives a third-party lawsuit because somebody's at fault for the motor vehicle accident, not the injured worker. Under the law, and I hate this, workers' compensation actually gets reimbursed two-thirds of what they pay out for medical, time out of work, and the settlement, less $750, up to the amount of the third-party recovery. So hypothetically, the person gets his workers' compensation benefits, including the settlement. There's a third-party recovery of $500,000. Workers' comp actually gets paid two-thirds of their money back, which I can't stand this part of the statute. And people look at me, clients, and like, what do you mean I got to pay these people back? That's what the law says.
Now, let me just ask real quick, because we don't have a lot of time, but you get that call from Matarazzo and Lubser. First thing you do, Adam.
Yes, yeah, so Steve Matarazzo, you know, summarized that very well as far as that whole process. And then as far as what we can do, and it's actually, it's a very nice symbiotic relationship because the workers' comp firm usually can get all the medical records and everything and all those things that we would otherwise have to do, send that over to us. We get a workers' compensation lien so we know what that amount is that has to get paid back, which is a statutory reduction. It's just, it's a mathematical formula. But then the things that we can get are the biggest part that workers' comp can't do is pain and suffering. So yeah, comp can get you your medical benefits and a percentage of your wages, but we can get the remaining wages because your comp wages aren't your full wages. So we can get the remaining lost wages, as well as, you know, let's say you can't go back to work or do that job again. If there's a future wage loss, can include that as well. And then pain and suffering, which is usually the biggest driver of value in a personal injury case, is pain and suffering. So we can kind of do all of that and always work very well with our workers' comp partners because ultimately that's for the client's benefit. And mm-hmm. and they're right. We've so many times where guys got a shoulder injury, they want to send him back to work, he finally gets the MRI, turns out, oh yeah, I have a tear and I need surgery. Mm-hmm. And they were going to send him back to work.
No question. And Marla, in your world, okay, yeah. Especially if it's if there's an injury and it's a personal injury that in New Jersey. Yeah. How's it work with Synergy?
Yeah, of course. No, we, again, we fight the insurance companies in the same regard. I mean, basically they're fighting us too. So, mm-hmm. you know, if a prescription is filled, doctor sends it in, the doctor says the patient needs to have this medication. We ship it out regardless of what the insurance company says. Unfortunately, we even have to go through that route because...
Well, if you go to a regular, especially if it's a claim petition or some kind of... you go to a regular pharmacy, a Walgreens or a CVS, they're not filling that.
They don't want to fill it. Yeah, they don't.
And Marla, I apologize for cutting you off, but you don't know how many times I'll get a call on my cell phone after hours.
Yeah.
That they're at the, you know, a client of ours just had surgery. They just got released. The doctor prescribed some sort of medication.
Yeah.
And they're at the pharmacy, and the pharmacy says that there's no authorization from the workers' compensation insurance company.
Yeah.
Well, it's 8:00. It's very difficult for me to get on the line with somebody from that, from that insurance company. So it is, Marla has a very, very important job and very important things to say.
That's all we do. And that's why we exist. Basically is because of that. You know, we get calls all the time. And I always tell people, just come to us. You have personal injury, you have a workers' comp, come to us. We'll fill your meds. We'll ship them. They don't even have to leave the house, and there's no out-of-pocket cost.
Let's go around the horn real quick. We only got about a minute and a half left. Steve Matarazzo, contact information?
You get my cell phone number, 609-432-4668. And real quick, Joe will tell you this. He had a friend that got hurt. The friend emailed me, I believe, at 12:50 a.m. at night.
Yes.
I responded.
Yes.
Wow.
You did. That was amazing.
I want to meet you. I have to come and meet you.
That's going
to
happen. Steve Loubser?
Steve Loubser, Law Offices of Matarazzo and Loubser. You could call the office as well, 856-843-8403.
My good friend, Adam Flager.
Adam Flager, Flager & Associates. Office number is 215-953-5200, and our website is flagerlaw.com.
Marla Vittorello.
And Synergy Scripts out of Bridgeport, PA, synergyscripts.com.
Shout out to Tyler, our producer, for making it happen. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Matarazzo and Loubser Show. We want to thank Adam Flager, our guest, and of course, my co-host, Steve Matarazzo and Steve Loubser, and Marla Vittorello, on behalf of everybody on the panel.
Let's go Mets.
I was just going to say, on behalf of Steve Loubser.
It hurt a little bit.
Let's go Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You beat me to it.
Nobody else.
Battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by: never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project, we never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.